ook verder hier op Radio Kansel 657 AM en 729 AM. Dankie dat jy ingeskakel het. Ons kuier saam met Chuck Stevens. We're speaking to Chuck Stevens now, Executive Director at the Desmond Tutu Center for Leadership and a columnist about his writing as well as his own testimony of experiencing the good and bad of SA and also being an activist for change where possible. Now, let me just say briefly, as I mentioned earlier, at the inception of the program, Chuck is a Canadian of Irish and Scottish descent who settled in Africa, and he's lived in Africa longer than anywhere else, and in Mbombela, longer than in any other city. He's really an empathic bridge builder, unhappy with the status quo, and wanting to bring in the salt and the light of Christ Jesus wherever he goes. Good afternoon, Chuck, to you. Welcome to Radio Pulpit. Good to have you on the air, sir. How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you. Nice to hear your voice again.
Great to be on the air with you. And wow, looking at your background here, it says you've been staying in South Africa or in Africa for much longer than almost, well, anywhere else. And by this time, I'm sure Afrikaans has also been in there somewhere, and braai vleis and boerewors, some of that.
Afrikaans, meer.
Yeah, no, it's great just to...
I've learned several languages in my lifetime in Africa.
Yeah.
But sadly, Afrikaans is not one of them. But I understand that I'll need to learn it when I get to heaven, because I hear it's the lingua franca of heaven.
Well, it's, I think it's one of the sounds of rushing waters up there. Of course, it's just one of the many colorful sounds we have, or languages. But thanks so much for joining us. The interview, fortunately, is going to be in English, of course. But no, it's just pulling your leg. And great to crack a joke as well as believers, and just to enjoy each other in the fellowship of believing and sharing the gospel of Christ and speaking about also things that are important. So, Chuck, we're also quite interested this afternoon just to understand a little bit more about who you are for our listeners who may not have heard of you before. What's your heart? What's your passion? I mean, you've been involved in so many things over the years. You write and you also compose poetry and share the word in that form. Passionate about the Lord, passionate about the Word of God, but also passionate about making a real and lasting difference in society, especially in Africa. So I don't want to talk too much. I mean, I've been doing that for quite a while now already on the program, so I'd love to hear just out of your heart. Chuck, what would you like to share from your heart and what's on your heart for the listeners this afternoon?
Okay, look, the first time you and I chatted, it was about an article that I had written for the media called The Integrity Pledge. And it was in introducing a pledge that I hope that people would adopt after the Zondo Commission closes to try and, you know, take this personally, this whole thing of, you know, cleaning corruption and patronage and state capture away and replacing it with something better. Mm-hmm. And I'm just mentioning that because I do write for the media a bit. I've been privileged in South Africa to have about 120 articles at this stage that have been run on different media platforms over about close to 5 years now, I think. It means that, you know, I have to write about three and submit them to get one chosen.
Sure.
So there's a lot of writing involved. But that is close to my heart. It's what we call in our ministry here a prophetic voice. It's trying to speak into issues that people are living on a day-to-day basis and bring, you know, the light of the Word into those issues. So I'm shamelessly Christian about the way I write. I think people appreciate that because sometimes writers don't tell you where they're coming from. They just write a lot of information. Now, I've published several books, and recently the Center of the Book in Cape Town has just published a new book. But it's something very special. It's 50 poems from the past 50 years. The first poem I wrote in 1969. And the last one I wrote, I think it was 2019. Yeah, it was just November at the end of the year. I was at the Justice Conference in London, and it's, you know, it really inspired me. And we managed to slip that one in right at the last minute because that was just about the time that, you know, they were closing the door. They do this for authors in South Africa. It adds to the books in the national libraries. But they also, you know, sort of have a competition and they choose an author and they say, we're going to publish your book, you know, and I've had this privilege now. It's just come out in the past couple of months. I think it was actually June that I received the paperbacks. It's called Opa Waxes Lyrical.
Wow.
And, you know, the idea is that poetry is, you know, the voice of experience. There's sections on love, faith, life, and purpose. Those are the four different sections in the book. And there's somewhere between 7 and 17 poems in each of those four sections. So it is available now as an e-book as well from our publisher here in Nelspruit, Mbokodo Publishers. It's a book that, you know, again, is shamelessly Christian in the way that it's written, although it may be writing about the Millennium Development Goals or, you know, women's issues or inequality. I mean, there's all sorts of themes that will come out in this book because my career has, you know, been linked to community ministry, community development ministry, but working as a church change agent in the community. So it's quite exciting to me. I'm honored. I'm thankful to the center of the book in Cape Town.
Yeah.
Wow, they went over it with a fine-tooth comb. I mean, they were finding spelling mistakes that I would never see. But it's beautifully bound, and, you know, it's available now. And I think people, particularly those who love poetry, but anyone who likes a nice book on the coffee table that you can pick up and read, you know, a few pages and put it down, and you don't have to sort of invest a whole lot of time in it at once.
Yeah.
You know, a book with a plot is a pretty big, you know, investment, but this would be something really nice to have, you know, on the coffee table or in the kitchen, or dare I say it, in the loo, you know, just so that you can enjoy a short read and then move on to something else.
No, exactly. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. So, Janine was very kind. I actually sent her a recording of a few of these as samples, thinking about radio and, you know, audio. And I'm prepared to read you one that will take about 2 minutes if you want to have a taste test here, but I don't know how much time you have and what your inclination is.
Yeah, so, Chuck, you're more than welcome. I think it'll bring something of the heart of God the Father, but also as it exudes through you and just finds a voice through you to us and our listeners. And on the back of that, I would love to just understand a little bit more about your empathy for Africa and South Africa. You know, why specifically Africa and South Africa? But we would love to listen to the poem, and I'm sure our listeners would also be really blessed by it. And after that, feel free to just share your heart and your love and your passion for the Lord and Africa further. We'd love to hear more. So over to you. More than welcome.
You'll see how that all rolls together.
Right.
Because this is a poem from the love section.
Mm-hmm.
And it's some very interesting thoughts that go far back in time, but also, you know, reflect some of the experiences I've had in my own life.
Mm.
It's called, If You Really Care, Why Does It End There?
Mm.
Here we go. Isaac was much older than Rebecca. He was the miracle child born of Sarah, beyond her age of childbearing, demanded as a human sacrifice of his father Abraham, as a test of faith and obedience, of ownership. Rebecca had not even met Isaac when she agreed to marry him. It was arranged. His father Abraham had sent out a steward, a matchmaker, a majordomo, She knew Isaac's credentials, his means. She was keen for the adventure of travel, to get past her roots, so she agreed to be his bride, sight unseen. Esther was a Jewish orphan. Xerxes was the emperor of Persia. Their marriage was cross-generational and cross-cultural. It was also arranged. There was no romance. There were criteria. She won the Shushan beauty pageant by her surpassing loveliness, yet it blossomed into true love. He shared his wealth with her and his legislative power. So when xenophobia manifested itself in the threat of genocide, Esther's influence prevailed. She was as principled and courageous as she was attractive and desirable. Yet she did not marry for love. It was for purpose. There is much more to love than marriage as we know it today. How's that?
That's beautiful.
Did I get you thinking?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. No, you did. It really just speaks about, in my view and short interpretation thereof, it speaks about love and the depth of it, going much, much deeper than what we've, in our Western mindsets, we've allowed ourselves to be bamboozled by. It really speaks about the gist of the love of God, which is a giving love, an adventurous love that goes with on the journey and the adventure, like you so aptly described, but much, much more than that. So please feel free to share more from your heart. We would love to understand a little bit more about Africa and South Africa, specifically your passion for the southern tip of Africa that we find ourselves in.
Well, maybe you didn't pick this up in the bio. I don't know exactly what I provided for you, but I was actually born and raised in what's now called DRC.
Okay.
In those days, it was called the Belgian Congo. To distinguish it from other Congos that existed at the time. And my parents were medical missionaries working in a very deep rural area in the northeast of Congo. I actually had to cross the border into Uganda to go to school. Uganda had some English schools, and that's so I was back and forth across the border every term, you know. But I'm saying this to say that, you know, I'm really African in terms of my birth. And in my exposure to different African cultures and languages, I mean, it's deep. In Canada, you know, we talk about French Canadians, we talk about English Canadians. There's different, you know, different categories that you put people in. I classify myself as a Canadian African.
Yeah.
But great. By that same criteria. And, you know, I really, my roots are down here. However, I've tumbled into Angola out of the war in Congo. I then tumbled out of there into Zimbabwe. And I had the great honor about 26 years ago of having the Zimbabwean immigration put a big stamp in my passport in very large letters, "Do not reapply."
Wow. Okay.
They'd had enough of me and my, you know. So at that point, we moved to South Africa, and I'm here in South Africa now for 26 years in the Lowveld, which is the warmest I could find here in South Africa. It's more like home, you know. I have spent 20 years, maybe 25 years, something. I can't fix the number exactly right now, of my 70 years. I'm 70 years old now in Canada. So I do know Canada as a country. I've lived in several different cities. It's quite a nice place. But, you know, I'll be honest with you, wherever you go, there are great things about it and there are problems. And you shouldn't be mistaken to think that, you know, South Africa has all the problems and Canada has all the good things.
Yeah.
It's not that way at all. Canada has some very serious problems. You may have been following the news there, you know, the history of the last 100 years and the way that the First Nations in Canada were treated by Europeans when they arrived and so on. I mean, it's horrendous. There's a Truth and Reconciliation Commission that's on in Canada right now. I don't know whether you're aware of that. You know, we had ours, what, 25 years ago or 20 years ago, something like that. But it certainly needs healing. It certainly needs cleansing in Canada. Even though it's a wonderful country and in many ways, you know, easier to live than in South Africa. The big drawback in Canada is the weather. It's terribly cold. And as I told you, I came to the warmest part of South Africa I could find here in the Lowveld.
That's right.
So the weather here is wonderful. The people are great. Yes, there are serious problems in South Africa, but South Africa has this amazing way of always pulling out at the last minute.
Yeah.
They pull through when you think it's impossible.
Yeah.
And so I do have, you know, sort of a visceral sense that one way or another, South Africans will find one another and move ahead through any crisis.
Yes.
And I saw that again this month.
Yeah.
I mean, this terrible thing that happened, there's different takes on why it happened. You know, I mean, it could have been, you know, a thing because Zuma was put in jail, or it could have been frustration over COVID-19. It could have just been, you know, a buildup that finally exploded about the inequality in the country. One commentator used the word conflation, and I like that. I think it wasn't one thing. I think there was a conflation of several different things that suddenly, you know, blew up.
Yeah.
And a week later, people were going out and cleaning up, you know, and they were like, people in the community, it was like, this is, people didn't want to know that this had happened. And they said, no, this is not the government's problem to clean up. This is our community. We've got to go and clean it up. And to me, that's the amazing thing that happens in South Africa. I'm sorry about the blowouts. There was xenophobia blowout in 2008 that made some of us shake because we're foreigners. But that seemed to blow over, although it's always sort of around, but it's never been on that scale again. Now there's this one, and I think people will get past it and start working together to make the, you know, make the country go. So I'm optimistic. It's tough going at times, but you know, we started a small campus here 22 years ago, and we told the story at the time of Jeremiah buying a field in Jerusalem, even though he was prophesying at the same time that Jerusalem was going to fall and be run over and everybody was going to be dispersed. Why would you buy a field, you know? But that's what we did. We said, you know, South Africa's pretty shaky and a lot of things aren't right and there's a lot of work to do, but we're setting up the campus here. We're investing because we believe it has a good future.
Amen.
So there you go. I think my time is almost up. But I would love to talk to you about other books, maybe give you some other samples in the future.
Yeah.
Have Janine get in touch with me, and I really appreciate the exposure. Thank you very much.
Big, big pleasure. And it's great to talk to you, Chuck. Thanks so much. Your optimism is contagious, and we thank God for you. We pronounce just the Lord's blessing and favor upon your family as it is, but just pronouncing it by way of communicating it over the airwaves, and may really experience His grace and strength and provision, protection over you and your loved ones as well. Thank you so much for your time. All of the best there, and hope to be able to engage again in a future discussion. Great grace to you, sir.
Wonderful. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Blessings. Bye-bye.